have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum.
I'm Ann Northrup. And we start with some good news today. Some Democrats in Louisiana stopped an anti-trans bill, and we had some court wins in Florida and Colorado.
Out in Arizona, a whole bunch of civil rights leaders picketed and got arrested against U.S. Senator Kyrsten Sinema, protesting her preservation of the Jim Crow filibuster.
And gruesome, but ultimately positive news. In Los Angeles, Ed Buck was convicted on all counts for the killing of two black men with drugs in sexual trysts.
The Vice Squad raided an adult bookstore in Maryland and arrested eight men for things that are not even any longer crimes.
I'm very sad this week, mourning the loss of friend and major lesbian artist Louise Fishman. And we're also going to mourn the loss of civil rights leader Bob Moses.
LGBTQ athletes are really excelling at the Olympics, including gold for diver Tom Daley. And we'll show you how kids interacted with a famous trans athlete.
It's very charming. Hardly a headline, but more bigotry from Hungary's fascist leader. Got LGBTQ activists to turn out in record numbers to protest.
Actor Tommy Dorfman has come out as a trans woman and is keeping her name.
And here's your quiz for today. What former guest co-host of Gay USA will be awarded a special Tony Award this year?
Yeah.
Stay tuned for that.
Stay tuned. Look, I was very heartened by that. By the way, the banner in back of me was made by Gilbert Baker for us about, what, 10 years ago or more?
For our fundraiser?
Yes.
That was more like 15 at least, maybe more.
How time flies when you're doing this show. But I'm very heartened by the news out of Louisiana. Republican legislators held a basically unprecedented special session just to override Governor John Bel Edwards' vetoes of the anti-trans bill and another bill, first in history, and they held together and stopped it. And it was not expected. But they did hold
Democrats held together.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. To stop the Republicans from overriding the veto.
Barely. The Republicans actually won in one house of the legislature. They succeeded in having enough votes to override. Right. But then it went to the other house and the Democrats held firm enough to stop the override of the veto.
And this was mainly the trans sports bill, where you ban girls from playing in girls sports. The governor will also have the power to veto the redistricting maps in Louisiana that the Republicans are working on right now. So the point is, elections have consequences. And, you know, well, anyway.
Well, especially these state elections. And we have said for years, pay attention to the state legislatures, because that is where the action is on the ground. And we have to have progressive, smart legislators in place in these places. And too often, in fact, in most of the legislatures in this country, Republicans have gained control because people are not paying attention.
Well, it's also because Democrats are packed into cities in such concentrations, and then they control the rest of the state. They now use computers to draw the maps. They did it in the last census expertly, and it's very hard to overcome those lines. But one of the only states that has overcome them is Virginia.
Yeah, well, we're very happy that that it turned out this way in Louisiana. And, you know, we get little victories here and there. We told you last week about a judge in Arkansas blocking, temporarily at least, an anti-trans medical care bill. Well, shortly after we went off the air in West Virginia, another federal judge issued an injunction blocking a no trans youth sports bill. This is a victory for the moment for Becky Pepper Jackson, who is now allowed to do cross country track. Look at little Becky. She brought a lawsuit to be able to do cross country. And so far, so good. But the case, of course, will. But these injunctions get issued, as we've told you, when the plaintiff has a good chance of winning, when the judge thinks that it's headed in that direction. Yeah. So they block implementation of these bills.
We're jumping a little ahead in our order there, but let's go back to some national news. The Senate confirmed both Gina Ortiz Jones, a lesbian, as the Undersecretary of the Air Force, a first, and trans woman,
John Skelly.
Skelly, as the Assistant Secretary of Defense for Readiness.
Sean has worked for the Navy and for the Department of Transportation. These were voice votes, I think, in the Senate. We're a little shocked and delighted that relatively easily. Gina on the left there is an Air Force veteran who served in Iraq, has run for Congress a couple of times in Texas, come up a little short, and is now appointed by the Biden administration to the Department of Defense.
Now, we told you how Democrats hung together in Louisiana, but that's not happening in the U.S. Senate. They're not getting rid of the filibuster, and one of the reasons is Kyrsten Sinema, the out bisexual, who is the senator from Arizona. People are furious with her. And this week, 39 civil rights activists, including Jesse Jackson there, were arrested outside her Phoenix offices protesting her support of the Jim Crow filibuster, which is preventing passage of voting rights, the Equality Act, and scores of progressive legislation. Among those also arrested was the Reverend William Barber. Now, it should be added that Biden engages in perverse double talk in opposing ending the filibuster. He said at that town hall, it would just lead to chaos and gridlock. No, we have chaos and gridlock now. It would do the opposite. Now, he does say he's open to moving to a all-talking filibuster where you have to get up and talk if you want to delay a bill.
Another good court decision out of Colorado. The Court of Appeals there rejected a lawsuit by a marketing firm that does web design for people that wanted to say explicitly on its website that it does not serve same-sex couples and wanted to be able to refuse service to same-sex couples. They're a public business. They're a public accommodation, as they say. But they wanted to exert a freedom of religion right to reject people, pick and choose who they serve. And, of course, they were supported in this by the Alliance Defending Freedom, the chief law firm going after us on all these cases.
It was a put-up job. But the court found that the state has a compelling interest in preventing discrimination against gay consumers.
Colorado has an anti-discrimination act, and not every state does, and that's where this gets complicated, but they do, and the court said that act trumps, there's that word again, any claim by this public accommodation, this public business, that they should be allowed to, as I say, pick and choose. So that's good. Now, will the ADF appeal this to the Supreme Court? Will they get a more friendly hearing there? That is what we're on the edge of our seats worried about.
I wish the court would put a stop to this kind of stuff in Maryland, in Abington. The Police raided an adult bookstore and arrested eight men for, quote-unquote, perverted sexual practices, which were all behind closed doors, and one for soliciting prostitution with an undercover female deputy. They all spent the night in jail. Police were in full riot gear. They were badly treated. They got to get rid of these vice squads. These are victimless crimes. It's just outrageous.
This is all consensual activity, as you say, in locked rooms, not in front of anybody, no harm to anybody. But the police are justifying their existence by busting down these doors and arresting people for no reason at all. On the other hand, in Los Angeles, we've been following the case and finally the trial of Ed Buck for several years now. He's someone who's known as a major Democratic Party donor. That's how he's identified most often, a political operative in earlier days, not so much lately. But what he is known for now is enticing poor black gay men into
drugs and sex.
His apartment.
Yes,
where he would inject them with crystal meth and have unconsensual sex with them as they were often passed out. And a couple of these guys died in this because Ed Buck's MO was, let's see how much I can inject in these guys, how much they can stand. Well, often going over the line and killing two of these guys. Ed Buck has now been convicted. Here he is in the middle with pictures of the two guys he killed, Jamel Moore and Timothy Dean. These were just horrible, exploitative, racist, homophobic murders. And Ed Buck has now been convicted on 9 counts by a jury that had to deliberate only for 4 hours to reach these verdicts.
Faces a minimum prison sentence of 20 years. He hasn't been sentenced yet. He was exposed by a guy named Dane Brown, who survived these treatments due to medical intervention, and testified against him. Buck's lawyer, as we said, was Chris Darden from the OJ trial, who said Buck's victims brought it on themselves. That did not wash with the jury.
But the police and the LA prosecutors, former prosecutors, they've been replaced now, were very slow to go after Ed Buck. And it took a lot of work by local activists and family members. Jasmine Canick, a black activist in LA, and the family members of Moore and Dean really, really had to put on a huge campaign to make the police and the district attorney pay attention to this case. And it took several years after these deaths for them to prosecute Ed Buck. And thank heavens they finally did, but it wasn't easy. We're thankful to them for pursuing this in the face of rejection by the powers that be.
Speaking of hideous people, you will probably remember Christian fundamentalist singer Anita Bryant, now 81, who led that successful campaign to overturn the Miami Gay Rights Ordinance in 1977 that shocked the young movement into action. Well, she's got, you know, this was the Save Our Children campaign. She has a granddaughter, Sarah Green. Anita was married to Bob Green. Sarah came out to her at the age of 21, and Anita told her that homosexuality is a devil-created delusion. Now, years later, Sarah is marrying another woman. And the news that reportedly made it was news that reportedly made Anita's face freeze. Sarah says she feels sad for her grandma and hopes she will figure things out. She's unsure whether to invite her to the wedding.
Well, sure. I mean, that's quite a dilemma. You want your grandmother at your wedding, but if you're
going
to preach anti-gay.
No.
So Sarah's solution, and I think this is the right one, is she's going to call up her grandmother and say, "Would you like to be invited to the wedding?"
Taking a risk there, Sarah.
I think Sarah. I think Sarah can handle it. I think this is all out in the open, and Sarah and her family will be just fine. And I appreciate Sarah's boldness in talking about this.
All right, we got a good decision. Well,
in Michigan. Let's talk about Michigan. The local LGBTQ organization there, Fair and Equal Michigan, has been trying to get a ballot measure together for the citizens of Michigan to vote on whether to add LGBT people to the state's non-discrimination law. And so they have had to collect hundreds of thousands of signatures. And they hit the deadline, and they turned in the signatures to the Board of Elections type people. I think they have a slightly different name for it. And the board said, I'm sorry, we're disqualifying a lot of these signatures. You don't have enough now. We're not putting it on the ballot. So everybody's in great turmoil over this in Michigan. And the Fair and Equal Michigan is going to appeal this decision on disqualifying these petition signatures.
Okay. In Florida, the 11th Circuit Appeals Court revised an opinion. It reaffirmed in the case of Drew Adams. We have a picture of Drew here with his mom and his lawyers, that trans high school students should be allowed to access facilities that match their gender identity. It's a Lambda Legal case. Drew is now 26. He was barred from using the boys' restroom at Allen Nice High School in Ponte Verde, despite previously having been allowed to use it. The earlier decision said the school violated Title IX. This one said it violated equal protection, which is an attempt to prevent the conservative circuit from hearing the case en banc. Now, this is not a locker room case, they emphasize. This is just about going to the restroom.
Well, they had to go through all this because a dissenting judge in the original decision withheld the order. And wouldn't let it go through and be issued and acted upon. And it was holding it up in hopes of getting an en banc hearing from the full circuit court. And the judge who wrote the original majority decision said, whoa, wait a minute, we're not doing that, and rewrote the decision, trimming it a little, adjusting it so that it could go through and so it couldn't be held up by this dissenting judge anymore.
Right. Okay. All right. Some better news. In Yonkers, New York, Mayor Mike Spano, a former Republican assembly member, now a Democrat, married firefighter Devin Chisholm to Giuliano Turicic. Right. Having the ceremony. They're going to have a ceremony in Paraguay, too, where Giuliano is from. And where he gained some fame on a game show. Chisholm is on the executive board of the Firefighters Union, first out firefighter in Yonkers, and admits his experience with colleagues has been mixed, but that diversity in the department is growing.
And he got a very warm welcome from his fellow firefighters after the wedding. They were all congratulating him. And a teacher in Maine is being congratulated. Sort of, because she got a positive decision from an investigator looking into her claims of harassment, discrimination, and demotion by her principal and other teachers at Brewer High School. She was, as I say, a teacher there and the advisor to the GSA. The investigator sort of agreed she'd been harassed.
Well, this took years. I mean, look, I'm a former New York City Human Rights Commissioner. Whenever people would call me, I would say, get a lawyer, and they'll tell you whether you've got a good case and go to court, because you've got a private right of action. I mean, if it's a small thing and you just want some adjustments in an agency, go to the Human Rights Commission. But that's why it took so long. But she was really treated hideously by her colleagues, and they documented all this.
Well, we'll see how it turns out for a trans Port Authority cop in New York. A trans man, Michael McConaughey, is suing for harassment by his colleagues and bosses. He's just filed suit we'll follow that and see where he gets.
Now, in Idaho, the administrator of a public college at Lewis and Clark there is an anti-gay pastor outside of work time. And some faculty and students want Logan Fowler removed. But the school says he has a First Amendment right when he's not at work, and I have to say I agree. You know, we want the same rights in advocating for LGBT rights and engaging in legal gay activity. Most religions are anti-gay. You're going to fire everybody who belongs to them? I mean, you know, people do have these private rights if they don't bring it to work.
The question is where you draw the line, I think, and it can get a little fuzzy. So you have to look at each of these a little closely and, you know, when does it cross the line into harassment and that kind of stuff.
If you don't bring it to work, I mean, you know, that's...
Well, but, you know, what is work these days? That's my philosophical question for the week. What is work these days? Well, in Illinois, the governor has signed a law that does several things, or several laws. One, repealing the criminalization of sex by people with HIV. Another one, allowing Medicaid to cover trans gender affirming surgeries. Another one, mandating LGBTQ issues in school curricula. They did a pretty sweeping range of bills in Illinois this year, and the governor Pritzker has gone ahead and signed them. So that's very good.
Elections have consequences.
And back in Baltimore, Maryland, over 100 people showed up for the second Black Trans Lives Matter rally, demanding housing, jobs, health care, a whole panoply of issues. So they're continuing activism there. Now, I think it's time that we get to my friend and the magnificent legendary painter Louise Fishman, who we lost very suddenly this week from heart problems, atrial fibrillation, and an ablation procedure that didn't go well. Let's take a look at Louise and her work. Louise was died at 82, a magnificent career. That's, of course, a work of hers behind her as she sits there. She was... she was thought of by some as an abstract expressionist, which you'll see in some of this work, but she sort of denied that label and had a more nuanced idea of herself. And she was a rabid lesbian feminist in the most fun-loving, fabulous way. Here's Angry Louise. She did a whole series of pictures called Angry So-and-so, Angry Marilyn for Marilyn Monroe, Angry whatever. But this kind of work was her most gorgeous and wonderful. It took me a minute to warm up to her work, but I absolutely adore it. And it was she's extremely respected and awarded and legendary as an artist. And this is a huge loss to have her suddenly die so unexpectedly. And mostly I miss her as a human being. None of her friends can believe she's gone. She was such a vibrant presence in our lives. Now, this in particular is from her Holocaust series. She went to Central Europe some years ago to recapture and investigate some of her heritage, and was just devastated by visiting some of the concentration camps, scooped up some of the ashes from in the pools that were still there, and brought them back and mixed them with paint and made some of those pictures in that series from the Holocaust. But Louise was just a force of nature and a fantastic human being and a very important art historical figure, which you would not know it by talking to her because she couldn't have been a more down-to-earth regular person, although well aware of her talents and her place in art history. And we will miss her enormously. And it was a great, great privilege to know Louise. I'm so sad to have her gone.
our condolences. Back in 1980, she was one of 10 artists who were exhibited in the main event of the Great American Lesbian Art Show at the Women's Building in Los Angeles. She won a MacArthur Award, right? Didn't she?
You're ahead of me. Sorry,
I'm skipping ahead. She won a Guggenheim. But I mean, she was
many awards.
Our friend Jackie Rudin said she was a lesbian feminist and warrior for social justice.
And she, you know, some of these major figures sort of run away from these kinds of labels. Not Louise. She just loved being a lesbian, loved being a feminist, loved being a social justice activist. She's survived by her wife, Ingrid Naibo. And our condolences to her. We're going to put in our show note, which you can get by signing up at gayusatv.org for our weekly show note. I'm going to put a couple of pieces of video. One short piece from great filmmaker Jean Carla Musto's upcoming film, Esther Newton Made Me Gay. Esther was the great author and sociologist, was one of Louise's exes. And so Louise is in the movie, and this is a brief clip of her talking about loving early lesbian days. And then a longer clip from her friend Janice Gal Perry, who interviewed her about 10 years ago, and she talks about her art and how she defines herself and what her process is. At the end, she talks about her high school basketball career. Louise loved being a basketball player. A lot of us lesbians have this sports streak in us, but not all. Too bad. But it's absolutely charming. So make sure you're on our list for our show note and see the video of Louise.
Now, not gay, but a great, great civil rights activist, Bob Moses, you probably heard about it this week, has died at 86. He was a soft-spoken pioneer who moved from Harlem to Mississippi in 1960 to register black voters. Facing relentless intimidation and violence, he was inspired by Ella Baker of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, and he worked with Dr. King, Fannie Lou Hamer, John Lewis. He was shot at by the Klan. He had his head bashed in by a sheriff's cousin, requiring 11 stitches. He led the Freedom Summer Registration Drive in 64, where Cheney, Schwerner, and Goodman were murdered down there. He was just unbelievable. And he felt betrayed by Democratic leaders at the 64 convention with Fannie Lou Hamer. He says, "I'm never having anything to do with politics ever again. I'm dealing with the movement because you get betrayed." He was active in the anti-war movement. He moved to Tanzania to avoid the draft, and he returned to get his PhD at Harvard. He's the one who won a MacArthur grant, founded something called the Algebra Project to help young kids, especially young kids of color, a more accessible way to learn mathematics and other things, which is just now extant throughout the education system. And he died wanting a constitutional amendment to guarantee quality education, since the Supreme Court ruled it was not mandated in the Constitution.
Now, none of this is true of Jackie Mason.
Sure.
I would rather not mention at all, but he was such a horrible homophobe that we are passing.
Died at 93. He was a big Giuliani and Trump supporter. He used to refer to the black mayor of New York, David Dinkins, as a washroom attendant. And when he got bad reviews in 1969, he said the critics had to preserve their semi-homosexual atmosphere of arrogant social elegance, the Noel Coward set. I had a confrontation with him on a talk show that I was invited on, and he started in making basically what were fag jokes. And I just stood up and said, "Stop." He says, what? You know, I said, no, don't do that. And I just kept talking until he stopped. And then on the way out, some old woman who was there, a lot of old people in the audience, said, "Well, you have to understand, that's his shtick." I said, "It's bigotry, and that's all it is."
All right, let's move on from him. Congratulations to the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine in Madison They have been designated for the first American Medical Association Foundation National LGBTQ Plus Fellowship Program. They will be training young doctors on LGBTQ Plus issues and equity. So that's a great thing. Some of this has taken place, but this is the AMA getting behind it and funding it, and that's great. All right. Moving on to international news.
Well, yes, we're going to get to the Olympics, but we're going to start with the fascist prime minister of Hungary, Viktor Orban. He now plans to call a referendum on his anti-LGBTQ laws that he calls child protection and sexual propaganda to children, but which essentially ban LGBT people from being out and which censor almost all mention of LGBT issues. But here's how he's going to phrase the referendum. Do you support sexual orientation workshops in schools without consent? Do you believe gender reassignment procedures should be promoted among children? Should content that could affect a child's sexual orientation be restricted? So he's putting all this stuff on the ballot in a very obviously prejudiced way.
I vote no on all of those.
Yes, I know.
Maybe not.
We would. So anyway, unlike in Russia, where they already have these laws.
That's the model. Putin is modeling this for dictators around the world.
You would think they would be more resentful of Russia after what they went through after the war.
But actually, anyway. It's what's his name from the National Organization for Marriage.
Brian Brown,
thank you.
Yeah. Anyway, people are fighting back, which you can't do in Russia. You're not allowed to demonstrate about this stuff. LGBT people and their supporters marched in Hungary by the thousands in Budapest, protesting all of these policies, which the censorship law is already being used to suppress content. This was the largest LGBTQ march in Hungarian history. People are protesting also authoritarianism as much as this law. And, of course, that's what we're protesting here.
Well, it's strange. You have all these people out in the streets and you think, wow, that is fantastic. And yet Orban maintains power and doesn't look like he's going to lose it anytime soon.
Well, he does have an election coming up, and he thinks this is his ticket.
Well, assuming election results are paid attention to anymore.
And Polish activists who work to expose the anti-gay bigotry of the various figures are being sued by them.
Well, of course they are. And, what do you expect?
And there's a coalition against homophobia that's defending them because it's very expensive.
And lest you think we complain only about right-wing countries, in London, they held the first annual official Reclaim Pride March, saying Boris Johnson, stop stalling on LGBT plus rights. They are angry at Boris Johnson for not following through on some of his promises, like banning conversion therapy. And so they staged a people's march, a political march, and this is Peter Tatchell and his colleagues, and 2,500 people showed up, and there they were in the streets of London.
There's supposed to be regular Pride there in September if Delta doesn't cancel it. They must have an election coming up in Ghana because there's a bill there that would dole out 10 years in prison for LGBTQ people, as well as groups and individuals who advocate for LGBTQ rights or support LGBTQ people in any way. And it will force intersex people into what they're calling gender realignment surgery. Foreign diplomats are concerned.
But good news from South America, where, first of all, in Chile, as expected, the Senate has passed a same-sex marriage equality bill. This now goes to the Chamber of Deputies. But the somewhat conservative president of Chile has promised to promote this and sign it So we're hopeful that this will go through in Chile pretty soon.
And in Argentina, they introduced ID cards for non-binary citizens, allowing them to use X markers on passports and national IDs. They're joining New Zealand, Canada, Australia, and others in making that change.
All right. In AIDS news, well, the news...
The Olympics or no?
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot about the Olympics. Go ahead. I had that on another
page. Forgot about the Olympics. You can't get away from them.
I haven't watched them yet. I'm waiting for the golf. That starts tonight.
Well, look, the LGBTQ athletes are doing great. If you go to outsports.com, they keep a tally of this, and they said if LGBTQ athletes were a team, they would have the 14th most medals of any country.
And that's just as of today. We'll see what happens by the end of the Olympics. We're now up to 168 out LGBTQ plus athletes. Plus, and I have to say that that's pretty astonishing, given how for forever, you know, we've been happy to have one here or two there, and suddenly 168. This is more than all put together from previous Olympics. This really is a watershed moment for this event, at least, but presumably indicative of what's happening worldwide that we may be overlooking.
On a sorry note, apparently.
Entirely overlooking, but 168 is an enormous geometric progression.
Well, before I get to the sour note, let's talk about the triumphs. I mean, Tom Daley won gold with Maddie Lee in synchronized swimming. This is the moment that they won. When, you know, you learn that they got a tenth of a point higher than the other ones. At the press conference, Daley, who came out in 2013, said as a kid he felt like I was never going to be anything because I wasn't what society wanted me to be. And to be able to see out LGBT people performing at the Olympics, I hope it can give young kids hope. His first Olympics was at 14 in 2008 when fewer than 20 athletes identified as LGBT. Now it's 169.
That was Daley on the left and Maddie Lee on the right. They won for the 10-meter platform synchronized diving competition.
When Tom's husband, Dustin Lance Black, they had film of him watching as they announced it, he absolutely shrieked when it happened. He was so happy. Tom, by the way, at the press conference where Tom said all this stuff, he delivered his message between Chinese and Russian athletes, which, of course, are two repressive anti-gay regimes.
And he said he was proud to be a gay man and an Olympic champion. And he couldn't have been more forthright and matter of fact. And the announcers have been very matter of fact and forthright in referring to his husband, Lance, and his young son.
We will include a link to his press conference in our email.
And another big winner, Quinn from the Canadian women's soccer team, non-binary, trans girl, using they pronouns. Just as you can see, they're thrilled to be on the Canadian women's soccer team. We don't know the results of all that competition yet, but they're doing great on that team. But
Lauren Hubbard, who begins weightlifting on August 2nd, was the first trans athlete to qualify for the Olympics. Quinn says they feel optimistic for change.
But another medal winner, Amandine Bouchard from France, lesbian, won a silver medal in the half lightweight judo competition, whatever that may be. Half lightweight, I'm not familiar with that term, but congratulations to Amandine and to all the other medal winners, especially the LGBTQI ones.
Alana Smith is a skateboarder and the first non-binary athlete to represent Team USA. The USA softball, women's softball, won silver, and Canada won bronze, and that they contain five out lesbian members, or LGBT. And outrider Carl Hester of the United Kingdom won bronze in dressage. previously having won gold and silver. And by the way, there's a sour note here. Some people on TikTok have been sort of getting into Grindr files and exposing athletes who are not out by hacking into these things. And some of these people come from countries where it's very risky to be out.
And yet they're on Grindr.
Well, yes. I mean, you know, look. We can go after hypocrites who are working against gay rights, but if individuals...
I'm not calling them hypocrites. I'm saying that they should not have an expectation of privacy in using these services.
That is one of our messages to our viewers.
Yes, watch out. Don't be surprised when you attain some public status and people look you up.
All right.
AIDS news.
Well, you know, that outbreak of COVID in Provincetown is up to, as of earlier this week, 551 cases in that cluster. 69% of the Massachusetts residents in the cluster were fully vaccinated. 69%. It's just very scary right now. And get your masks back on. Stop going to these unmasked indoor things. Come on.
And 88% of those who have tested positive are male, median age, 39 years old. Now, the good news is they're not getting so sick. They're not hospitalized. They're not in fatal condition. But they are acquiring COVID, and they're clearly spreading it around.
And, you know, the Lazy Bear Week in Burnaville, California, big tourism weekend. Local leaders are trying to minimize the spread by urging, they should require it, indoor masking and proof of vaccination at hotels and restaurants. The staffs are being tested, but 78 were tested and 9 tested positive in Sonoma County there. The transmission rate is up to 9.8 daily per 100,000, and it could become a super spreader event.
And if you want another reason to avoid COVID infection, a new study says men are 6 times more likely to develop erectile dysfunction.
Oh, yes.
If they are COVID infected.
You know, I was encouraged to see that Fauci wants to spend billions on developing prototype vaccines to protect versus the 20 families of viruses. So that if there's an outbreak, they can be contained, perhaps, in the future.
Now, you've noticed something on the subway in New York.
Actually, it was my friend Darren Rosenblum, and he sent me a picture. This was an ad for erectile dysfunction drugs, but it features gay interracial models. So we are getting integrated into society.
Yes, and that's why we're here to talk about it.
That's what I'm trying.
In North Carolina, Blue Cross Blue Shield is expanding its coverage of trans needs because trans people in North Carolina brought a lawsuit against Blue Cross Blue Shield, and they've decided that perhaps they can see the light and provide this coverage. And in California, the governor has signed the HIV and Aging Act, with more people living longer with HIV, more than half of HIV-positive people in California, and I think nationwide, are now over 50. So this bill allows them to be included in a group defined as of greatest social need, which gives them better access to services from the state. So that's a good thing.
Entertainment news?
Yes.
Congratulations to our pal, here's the revelation, actor-comedian Julie Halston, once a guest host, co-host on this show back in the 20th century. She is being awarded a Tony Award for her public service, the Isabel Stevenson Award, for raising awareness and funding for the Pulmonary Fibrosis Foundation. It's the disease that took her husband, radio anchor Ralph Howard, back in 2018. Ralph lasted 10 years after diagnosis because he got a transplant. Julie was an off-Broadway star in the Charles Bush troupe and did lots of Broadway, On the Town, Anything Goes, Hairspray, Gypsy, most recently Tootsie, brilliant stand-up comic, does a show on Facebook, by the way, called Virtual Halston. She's been on Sex and the City on TV and film. The Tonys are on September 26th, 7 p.m. on Paramount Plus, followed by a special on CBS.
We love Julie. She is a beloved performer in the community, highly respected for her talents, and has won many awards. The Isabel Stevenson Award is given to her for a substantial contribution of volunteered time and effort on behalf of one or more humanitarian, social service, or charitable organizations. So she's raised millions of dollars for the Pulmonary Fibrosis Foundation. Congratulations, Julie. You deserve this and many more Tonys.
And she's hilarious.
Completely.
Okay. Actor Tommy Dorfman has gone from identifying as gay, then queer, then non-binary, but now as a trans woman, using she, her pronouns, but keeping the name Tommy because it was the name of an uncle who held her while he was dying, rose to stardom as Ryan Shaver on the hit Netflix series 13 Reasons Why. Says she has transitioned medically. Now says, I'm not going to play any more male characters except for maybe a Cate Blanchett playing Bob Dylan kind of way.
And congratulations to Lil Nas X, who is just getting more and more provocative and in your face to the haters.
Well, this industry baby thing is very cheeky, but it's political as well. He teamed up with the Bail Project, B-A-I-L, that posts bail for people in jail awaiting trial and working to end the racist and discriminatory bail system entirely. Says he knows what it can do to a family. I can't quote the most quotable line in the teaser video. Colton Haynes plays a guard who thirsts for Nas. We will link to that in our email.
Well, people are saying that this this video is so cool that it is making straight men consider sex with men. But Lil Nas X says, music's the way I fight for liberation. It's my act of resistance. But true freedom requires real change in how the criminal justice system works, starting with cash bail. He is growing by leaps and bounds. It is just thrilling and highly amusing to watch him churn out more and more political, fun videos.
Nobel Peace Prize for Lil Nas X.
I'm down. If it can go to, Bob Dylan got the prize for literature, but Lil Nas X, I give him the physics prize. I don't care. Now back to the Olympics and trans issues. We came across this week a very charming video that we thought would be appealing to you. It's trans athlete Chris Mosier.
Sat down with Ramalan and race walking, and this was put together by Hi-Ho Kids.
In 9 states, there are now laws that ban trans kids from playing sports with their friends.
I would feel so, like, disrespected and, like, left out.
Would you rage?
Probably. Hello.
How's it going?
Good.
What's your names?
Atlas.
And I'm Oscar.
My name's Ritika.
Yeah, I'm Malachi.
I'm Aiden. My pronouns are he and they.
Awesome. I'm Chris. My pronouns are he and him. Do you know why you're here today?
No.
No.
I'm a Team USA athlete.
Ooh.
And I was the first transgender man to participate in a men's Olympic trials race.
It's amazing.
Do you know what transgender means?
I think I know pretty okay. Well. If like a man or like a woman like transitions to like another gender?
Yeah, so it means I do not identify with the way that I was assigned at birth. When every person is assigned a gender at birth, that's done by a doctor. As I got older, I realized that what people thought that I was didn't match how I actually am.
What are some of the sports you play to be an athlete?
Yeah, so I'm on Team USA in duathlon, which is run, bike, run. They can be different distances. Mm-hmm. So I've done a race that has taken me under 1 hour, mm-hmm. and I've done a race that took me 7.5 hours.
Dang.
The last thing that I did actually was the Olympic trials in a different sport.
Let me guess that sport. Track?
Close, it is a track event.
The thing where you swing it like that?
No, but that would be super fun. Race walking.
Race walking?
Can you explain race walking? I don't...
It is walking as fast as you can, and it's like a running race, but there's a very strict technique.
Can we see an example of race walking?
You have to have one leg straight on the ground until it's under your body, and it has to look like one foot is on the ground at all times. If I show you, you're gonna have to try it too.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, there you go.
Beat you.
And in the Olympic trials, it was a 50-kilometer race, which is 36 miles. Yeah.
What'd you place?
I didn't finish the race because I tore my meniscus, unfortunately.
Where's that?
Your meniscus is in your knee.
I had that happen. Well, I didn't tear the same thing, but I had knee problems.
Did you?
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel good.
What is the biggest event you've done?
World Championships. In 2016, I was the first transgender athlete to compete internationally. And that was a really big moment for trans athletes and just an awesome race.
When did you know that you were transgender?
I think I knew from a very early age that I wasn't like the girls in my class, but I also wasn't quite like my brother. I don't know. I think I took pride in being different than other people. And then as I got older, the adults in my life and the kids in my class started to tell me that I wasn't girly enough to be a little girl, but I also wasn't a boy. And so had a sense that I was trans, but I just didn't know the words until after college.
Oh, interesting.
Do you think you know any trans kids?
I had a friend in middle school who was trans, and my little brother is actually trans.
Were you surprised when your sibling came out as trans?
No, I wasn't. We all saw it coming. He goes by she, him, she, her, and...
So she goes by she, her?
Yeah.
Yeah. How are you adjusting to it?
I treat him the same.
Treat her. No, it's okay. My family had a hard time getting the pronouns right. It took a while. The important part is that you try, right?
Yeah.
Of, like, making that effort.
I came out as non-binary originally, mm-hmm. so I use they, them, and then I'm like, oh, actually, I identify as, like, a demi-boy. So uh-huh. then I'm like, oh, can you add he in there?
Will you explain what demi-boy means?
Demi-boy means that you partially identify as male, but not, like, all the way.
Identity is fluid, and it can change over time, and so... it's cool that you are, like, open to changing it because you don't have to know right now.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever get hate for being, like, a trans athlete?
Yeah, unfortunately, I do. A lot of people say men are bigger, faster, stronger, and better athletes than people assigned female at birth. But we know that's not true. I know lots of boys who can't play sports,
yeah,
who are awful
me
at playing
too.
Sports. And yeah. Do you play sports?
Yeah, a lot. We play flag football, basketball, and baseball.
Swim and basketball.
I play rugby.
Awesome. Rugby is a pretty inclusive and welcoming space for a lot of queer and trans folks. Is that?
Yeah, it is. They stand up for me, or they're also one of the few people who actually use my correct pronouns. It's fun to be around a community that accepts you for who you are.
Yeah.
And it just makes the sport so much better.
How do your athlete friends react when you transitioned?
When I told them, I think because we're athletes together, mm-hmm. they were like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
And I was like, really? Like, it's cool? That's all you have to say about it? And they were like, yeah, we love you as a teammate, and we know that you're going to show up. So they were very supportive.
Why were you worried?
Trans people are really mistreated. There are always people who are saying that we don't belong in certain spaces or that we shouldn't have the same opportunities as our peers. And so I was worried that people would tell me that I wasn't allowed to keep playing sport. Like, how would you feel if somebody said you couldn't play baseball anymore?
Probably wouldn't feel very good.
Yeah. People in government are trying to keep transgender kids from playing sports with their friends in schools.
That's so bad.
Yeah. In 9 states, there are now laws that ban trans kids from playing sports with their friends.
That's insane. Like, I would feel so, like, disrespected and, like, left out.
It's kind of weird. It's like if you're like, you play a sport, you're not thinking, he used to be a girl. It's not like that. It's like, oh, dang, he's pretty good at sports.
Exactly. People in our country are trying to prevent trans people from having the same opportunities as everybody else. And it's not just about sports. It's also about healthcare, housing, jobs. You know, it's about so much more than sports. And we all just want to feel like we're like we belong, and we all just want to be seen for the people that we are. There you go.
Like to support like somebody that's transitioning, is it good to like make it a big thing, like tell everybody about it, or is it like keep it like small and normal?
You said normal, and I think that we need to normalize everybody just being themselves.
Yeah.
Right? But it's never our job to tell other people about other people's identities.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody comes out as trans to you, it's not your business to tell other people.
Yeah.
Like, let your friend share their information with who they want to share it with.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for chatting with me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks for chatting.
Nice talking.
Thanks for watching Kids Meet.
Bye.
All right.
Good
job. That's a cut.
That was sponsored by the Human Rights Campaign and Athlete Ally. I love seeing that because it takes me back to the years when we were talking to kids in schools and how much fun that was to
have us in the schools to talk about homosexuality and AIDS.
Yeah, and so we got to be the local examples of the gay people, the lesbians.
When you got the younger kids, it could be very charming. I remember fifth graders trying to talk about what adults do when they have sex, and they said, then they interact.
I had a few more explicit ones than that. But one of my favorites was a fourth grade class where they raised the question of marriage. And this was long before same-sex marriage was legalized. This was, you know, late 80s, early 90s. And they wanted to know whether they came up with the concept of marriage and wanted to know if it was legal for two people of the same sex to be married. And I said, well, you know, like only in Denmark at that time. And this fourth grade girl got up and said, well, I think that's stupid. I think you should be able to marry anyone you want, even an elephant.
Fantastic. We are down to our last minute. By the way, we also lost this week Gil Wexler, who was the great lighting designer of the Metropolitan Opera, died at the age of 79 of dementia. His husband was the artist Douglas, is the artist Douglas Sardo, survivor.
It's sad, you know, we're losing a lot of people, and we're losing the world with the climate catastrophes and COVID and everything else.
Pandemic, yes. Well, on that note.
Scary note. So that's why I go play golf.
We continue.
Enjoying the last few months of our existence.
Thank you very much.
We'll be back next week.
We will.
See you then.
Bye-bye.